Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Morning, church. My name's Andy, and I have the privilege this morning of bringing you today's message, continuing on our theme of home. So, of course, home is very topical at the minute. What's going on in lockdown, what different people are doing. So perhaps, I don't know, you might be doing some cleaning, some tidying, putting the Christmas tree up is something that we did for some strange reason. Or DIY, home improvements, maybe even some kind of restoration. One of the big news headlines from the other day was actually that there was a huge line of people outside B&Q, and that seemed to be so controversial. But for me, you know, the clue is in the name of the store, B&Q. What do people expect, really? But generally, you won't really find me doing any kind of DIY. It's not really my thing. To me, a monkey wrench just sounds like animal cruelty, really. However, desperate times causes for desperate measures, and so our home is undergoing restoration. Now, we haven't really got an old house, to be honest, and I might be exaggerating slightly what's going on here. Done a bit of cleaning and that kind of thing, but we decided we need to restore the Wall of Fame. Now, this just looks like a blank wall to most of you, but actually this wall is normally absolutely covered in photos of family and friends and lots of different memorable occasions, literally plastered in photos, and they're stuck up with blue tack and they keep falling down, and actually now we've taken all the photos down, the whole wall just looks like a big state. So you can zoom in later if you like, but believe me, it's not a pretty picture. So we're doing our own restoration on the Wall of Fame. So park that idea for a minute, and we're going to look at the life of Joseph. You can find Joseph, really his story beginning in Genesis chapter 37. So if you've got a Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 37 now. We're going to read from verse 1.
Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said.
So when we read that, we realize, wow, Joseph's house is in a bit of a state. Okay, we read in verse 2 that Joseph is bringing a bad report about his siblings. Okay, that kind of thing going on. If you've got children in the house at the minute, one sibling telling on the other sibling doesn't create for the nicest of atmospheres, perhaps. In verse 4, we read of Joseph's dad loving him more than any of the others. That is not a great recipe for a happy household. We also read in verse 4 that his brothers hate him. A house filled with hate is not a great house, not a great feeling in that house. We also read, of course, of Joseph telling his family the dreams that he had, which obviously wind them up. It says that they hate him all the more. Then he has another similar dream and doesn't really learn the lesson from the fact that they now hate him all the more, and continues to tell of his dreams. So the whole communication breakdown there, you know, I'm not saying the dreams were wrong, they were obviously of God, but the fact that and the way that he shared them didn't help. That home was in need of restoration. Bickering, communication breakdown, hate, jealousy. It's all going on there. This home needed restoration, but nobody admitted there was a problem. And so, point one, when we're talking about restoration, firstly,
not very pretty, and as you can see, it's even got cracks in it.
Admit there is a problem. There is a problem. I mean, it's already mentioned, been mentioned to us in this series that it's often our homes which see the worst of us. You know, our guard is down. Part of us is that feeling safe in the relationships that are in the home, but equally, it does mean that the relationships do sometimes need restoring. Our wall, the temptation with this wall really is to just whitewash it. You know, we've taken all the pictures down. I'm sure the paint will be thick enough, and we can just do a quick lick of paint over the top as if it's you know, no problem at all. We need to actually admit, no, that there's more of a problem here. I'll show you some zoomed in pictures and you realise just how bad the wall is. So we need to admit there's a problem and more work needs to happen here. And that can be true in our own lives as well. Of course, you're never more challenged than when you're preparing a message on something. I was thinking about my own life, my own situation, and what relationships perhaps do I need to restore? And that's caused me to kind of reach out and sort of try and make a connection with someone who I haven't really spoken to for quite a long time. Just things have kind of drifted apart, but I felt, you know, it's sort of upon me to try and restore that relationship. All I can do is my part. I'm not in control of their response or their reaction, but I can take control and can manage my own actions in the situation. I need to admit, yeah, that isn't the greatest situation and I might need to do something about it. So Joseph's brothers act on their broken relationship in a really bad way. They want to kill him, they end up sending him into slavery, and he ends up in the house of a guy called Potiphar. So we pick up the story here in Genesis chapter 39.
Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate.
You see, we can't admit there's a problem, but then kind of believe that, well, nothing can be done about it. It's never going to change. But I believe in a God who is a God of the impossible, that says that we can land the impossible. Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, nothing is impossible with God. And so point number two, a solution. Now Joseph's here in Potiphar's house, and clearly whatever's gone on, he's processed that, he's admitted there was a problem there, maybe admitted there's a bit of a problem perhaps with himself and God, who knows. But we pick up the story and all we know is at this point he's in a good place with God, so much so that the whole house of Potiphar is blessed because of Joseph. Joseph believed. Now, Paul actually writes in 1 Corinthians that those in our household who don't yet know him can actually be sanctified, can be made holy because of our beliefs. And I'm not, you know, playing down how hard it can be for someone who is living as a believer, as a Christian, in their house when perhaps no one else in the house does believe like they do. But take courage. Believe in God and his word when he says, look, you being there can have a massive influence, just like it did with Joseph. He was the only one there, but the whole house of Potiphar was blessed because of Joseph. And as Paul said in Corinthians, your whole household can be sanctified, made holy because of your beliefs. So yes, there might be situations there that need restoring, but if you admit that there is a problem and believe in the God of the impossible that something can be done about it? Wow, you're two-thirds of the way there, I believe. See, that's easier practice than preach, so I appreciate that. But I also believe that God can give you the strength and the resilience for your restoration. We've got a kind of duty, I guess, to try and live and try and develop the homes that reflect the example that we see in the Bible. Let our homes become faith-filled. There is an opportunity to live in something new, not just now, but also after lockdown, that there can be a new atmosphere, a new vibe when we have restoration in our house. In some daft way, yeah, we've admitted there's a problem with our wall, but I do believe our wall can be restored, even with my lack of DIY ability. So what happens then in the life of Joseph? Well, Joseph goes through this whole journey from being wrongly accused, and then he's forgotten about in jail, to then rising up to a position of power within Pharaoh's empire. All the while, of course, his family thinking he's like dead and long gone. And if you know the story, there comes a day when actually he ends up face to face again with his family. But they don't know it's him. Does he let his natural earthly feelings rule, or does he seek restoration? And actually, he wrestles with this, I believe, for several chapters. You can read it for yourself from Genesis 40 through to 45. And then we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 45.
Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." Then in verse 14 we read, "Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him." And then finally in verse 24, I love it how he wants to continue the home of restoration. "Then he sent his brothers away, and as they were leaving, he said to them, 'Don't quarrel on the way.'"
You see, this is crucial. Yeah, we can admit there's a problem. We can believe there's a solution. But until we do the final step, commit to change, then probably nothing will ever change. You see, Joseph went for the big reveal. Okay, he finally got to a point where this needs to change. This atmosphere, maybe this, some of the bitterness that he was holding, this is all not good. We need to restore our family back to the way it was. We need to restore that relationship. Our home, our house, our family needs to be a home of restoration. And so there's the big reveal then. He suddenly reveals that it's him, and there's emotions and everything else going on. And it kind of reminds me of a program we used to watch, Extreme Makeover, American version. And actually, their homes needed so much major restoration. Often, they would just tear the whole thing down and rebuild it properly. And the family would be sent away to Disney World, and this massive team of builders and the community would come in, and they'd rebuild this home properly with good foundations. And then after a week or so, they'd bring the family back, and they'd bring them back in this long limo with blacked out windows, and they'd pull up, and there'd be the Extreme Makeover bus would be parked in front of their brand new home, their restored home. And so they pull up, the crowds will be there, like, ooh, cheering. And then they'd get out, but they still can't see the house because this whacking great big bus is parked in the way. And then the guy hosting the program would start to utter the kind of famous words, and the whole crowd would join in, "Move that bus, move that bus." And actually, quite sadly, we got quite into it as a family. Well, a certain person in our household did. And we'd be at home going, "Move that bus, move that bus." And then the bus would move. And it was the big reveal. The home is restored. And again, you see the outpouring of emotion, just overwhelmed with how much they've experienced love, really. And that would just kind of cause so many tears and really powerful. God forbid, sometimes I'd even get a bit choked up. But nothing's going to be different unless there was a commitment to change. There's no point in having the program going like, wow, look at that home. We've got to admit, they're in a terrible state. And I think I believe, you know, there's money, we can do something about that. Yeah, sure, we can believe in that. Unless there's a commitment to change it, a commitment from the production team, the builders, the hosts, that whole community, nothing's going to be restored. We have to obviously do the same in our own lives. Now, you're probably thinking of situations yourself as I'm saying this that need restoring. Great, you're the first step. You've admitted there's a situation that needs restoring. Do you believe God can be involved to help you restore that situation, to help restore your home? I do. Do you? And if you do, then let's say you're 2/3 of the way there. Now make a commitment to change. And I'd encourage you, do you know what? Make it today. Because if you think, do you know what, maybe I'll think about that tomorrow, it'll disappear a little bit, and your drive and that desire, maybe that prompting of the Holy Spirit to do something about it, will just dwindle a little bit. Make that commitment to change today. Maybe you have to write something down. Maybe you have to make a phone call. Make the commitment to change to see your home restored. Final thought is, and you're not going to get any prizes for spotting this, the greatest restoration that needs to happen is our relationship with God. You know, this is something that I did as a 14-year-old. I was made aware of the fact that I'd messed up, I'd done life my own way, and I had to admit I had sin, I had wrong stuff in my life. Did I believe that Jesus was who he said he was? Yeah, I did. I believe that he died on that cross for the forgiveness of my sins. But I had to make that commitment to change. And you know what? The first time I got to A and B, I just didn't, whatever, couldn't, felt like I couldn't see it through, didn't make the commitment to change. And I didn't change. But thankfully, about 4 months later, I found myself in a similar situation in a church again. And I recognised, no, I've still got that problem. I still believe Jesus can do something about it. But this time, April the 2nd, 1989, I know, I made that commitment to change. Does it mean everything's perfect? Of course not. But my relationship with God is restored to how it should be. He sees me through what Jesus did. Wow, that is fantastic. And I just encourage all of you, if you don't know God, if you're listening to this today and thinking like, oh, I'm not sure about this, please consider taking this A, B, C step. You know, this is what we've looked at with communion today, is recognizing that I'm not worthy. I need a saviour. I believe, Jesus, you died for me, and I want to commit my life to you. So let me just pray for you as I finish. Father God, I thank you for each person listening today. I thank you for the privilege of your word. I thank you that we know that you are good for your word. And so God, I just pray you'll help us, give us the strength to admit that we have a problem, whether that's in our relationship with you or whether that's in our relationships in our house, our relationships maybe further afield. Help us to recognize that we need to restore things to how you want them to be. God, help us to believe in you. You are the ultimate. You are reliable. You are a rock. And God, help us to put our trust in you. And finally, God, give us the strength to really commit to see change. Commit to see restoration. In your name I ask it. Amen.